This is Art Major, Chair of the Canton WPCA, calling a meeting to order at 6:01 PM. And we have myself, Nick, Larry Vinicello, Bob Selmer, and Paul and Mike from Woodward Kern, and Bill Wolofsky from Board of Selectmen. So there are no members of the public here, so we'll move on to looking at the minutes from August 4th. I'll move the WPCA approved the August 4th, 2025 regular meeting minutes as presented.
Second.
Bob, got a second from Bob. All those in favor?
Aye.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
With the statement, did decided that upon approval that was forwarded to whom? Or was it forwarded to anybody officially?
Yes, I forwarded to Kevin Whitcoast with a cover letter mid-August, so, yeah.
Okay. So, even though I wasn't here, and I'm not going to vote on it, it might be good to have it noted that you...
That it was transmitted to the Board of Selectmen, and...
Just,
I believe it's recorded in their minutes that he did mention at the Board of Selectmen meeting last a couple weeks ago that they did receive it.
You see it, Bill?
Yeah, there was a discussion on it.
Okay. All right. We can hear about that later, I guess. And I think we sent a copy out to the board after the meeting.
Yep.
I've been a while now, but anything else from the? I guess we took a vote after your question.
I'm just gonna abstain because I wasn't.
Yeah. Okay. All those in favor then?
Aye.
Aye. Move on to the open projects worksheet.
All right. Just for open projects, I don't have any new formal applications. I'll just make a note of two inquiries. There's one within the Farmington Sewer Shed on Secret Lake Road. I think it's 42 and 44 Secret Lake. He approached me and he's planning to either build on his subdivided lots or subdivide further and build a number of units over there. Combination of, I believe, two families and with ADUs. So it'd be possibly three units per lot. But all that flow goes to Farmington, so it doesn't affect any of our capacity.
Will it be accepted?
Yeah, so in Farmington, we're allowed up to 20,000 gallons per day. We trend less than 10,000, so we have plenty of capacity over there.
And what's the area zoned for?
Residential.
Yeah, how many?
Units
per.
Yeah, I mean, what he originally proposed was a two-family with an ADU on one lot, and a two-family with an ADU on the other lot. But then he was throwing ideas out there about subdividing further. Maybe he's assuming he's talked to land use already. He could put as many as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Could be up to 6 lots, I think, break it up into, and I'm not sure how many he can fit into that space, but I think he's going to try to maximize whatever he can.
Okay.
And the address on that, that's the 36 Secret Lake Road?
So 36, I believe he used to own, he sold it off, if I understood him correctly, and so 42 is like a horseshoe that's around 36,
okay.
And 44 would be just to the south of that. The other property is 225 Commerce Drive, so Favar is discussing building another building.
Or residential units, or?
No, it'd be a commercial use, so less than 3 EDU. Very preliminary right now, but I think they estimated closer to 2, but less than 3.
Okay.
Could be a large space, but not going to take up a lot of capacity. So that's all I have for any open projects. Everything else is just continuing on the same track was last month.
Yeah, I've seen the, silt fences and everything up behind CVS and...
Yeah.
They're moving dirt around back there, yeah.
Yeah, they were allowed, town allowed them to do some site work. I don't think they have their building permits yet. I believe they sent their building permit applications in. I don't think they're fully approved. But it seems to me they got done what they could, and until they get further approval, they're not doing anything more.
Okay.
That's file number 2.
Yep. Correct.
All right, then, John, if you can go on to the monthly report.
All right, so for the month of August, it's relatively dry. Our average flow is 506,000 gallons per day. Our 180-day moving average was 0.676 million gallons per day. Our rainfall is 3.06 inches, and overall the plant ran well. You can see, like most months, not all the data's in yet, just because it's so early in the month, but we're trending to meet all our regulatory requirements. 99% suspended solids removal efficiency, so that's doing well. Just a couple highlights to mention. So our staff was out marking cross-country manholes in preparation for Woodard and Kern's sub to do some of the survey work. So I believe that's all complete. So they're our RNs all ready to go. We had a sand filter failing on one of our we had a sand filter pump, backwash pump failing. So we replaced that, and we're working with our vendor to either replace in kind or rebuild our existing spares, so we have something on hand. Other than that, we're kind of just working on cleaning up and reorganizing different areas of the plant. So right now we're in the spare parts room. We're probably going to move on to the sludge pump room after that. Just cleaning, organizing, getting rid of things we don't need, and knowing what we have for equipment and parts. So unless anyone has questions about the plant, that's all I have for a report.
What's it mean working with a tax collector? Is that just standard every day?
Yeah, so every year I receive consumption reports from the water company. Those need to get forwarded to the tax collector, and I also need to go through all the sewer use accounts, make sure everything lines up, see if there's any administrative changes, which a lot of times there are. Those need to get corrected prior to her sending out all the information she has to send to the contractor. So we use Quality Data Services. That's who compiles all our bills together. They actually create the bills. So we send them the information, they create the bills, they send us back an export, and we have to double check it, make sure everything is correct. It's normally a few things we need to fix, and then at the end of September, bills go out for October 1st. So it's quite a bit of work between me and her, just getting that all together every year.
Before we get off the performance, when I came in, you were talking about the rainfall this weekend. Might as well, I heard part of it or something, but maybe you can just summarize how the flows went with this storm.
Nothing too substantial. I mean, we had 1.7 inches of rain on Saturday, I believe. Flows bumped up maybe 50,000 gallons, somewhere in that range.
That's not.
Do you have any power outage issues?
No. Nope. So that was happy nothing.
A lot up by that way.
I'm thinking in Massachusetts where you.
A lot, really bad.
Yeah, I was worried about it, so. But nope, everything worked.
I was naively thinking that the number was going to go through the roof because there was so much rain.
Right.
And John explained that it probably got absorbed.
Ground was dry.
Yeah.
When the ground's relatively saturated, that water goes right to your system. When it's relatively dry, the soil grabs most of it first.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, when it's storm after storm after storm.
Yeah.
That's when you start having issues. Even just 1-inch storms really hit you hard, but.
Spring, the snow melts and.
Yep. Yeah, when it's dry like this and you get a storm, other than power outages, that's the biggest worry. We don't get too big of a flow spike.
Backup generators.
Yep.
Checked every.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, checked every week, really. Maintained every year.
All right, let's go on to the finances.
All right, and then just as a addition to this month, I added a financial update. Just we haven't really talked about this in a while. Where our three bank accounts are. So we have three accounts. They're called WPCA operations. That's what we work out of for our operating budget. WPCA assessment, that's where connection fees get deposited into. And the only thing that gets regularly paid out of that is a Clean Water Fund grant payments from a Clean Water Fund loan, I think from the 2009 timeframe.
Dowd Avenue.
Yep, so that was Dowd Avenue sewer main replacement and elimination of a pump station on Route 44. So that was a pretty good sized project. And then our capital projects account. So you can see, I just kind of spelled out what our obligations are. Our capital projects account, as it should be, that's fully funded. So whenever we have a project, we transfer money over to there so we can pay for that project. WPCA assessment, that's in a good spot too because that's fully funded, meaning we could pay out the rest of the loan, really, as long as we're above that 305 number, which drops about $6,500 a month. That's fully funded, so there's an excess of $34,000, and that'll continue to grow as we get new connection fees, and we can allocate that toward whatever you as a board want to allocate it to, whether it's more than likely a capital project, but could also go to WPCA operations as well. And then our WPCA operations account is just shy of $800,000. Our operating budget is 1022044. But we haven't really seen any revenue come in yet. We don't see very little come in for the first 3 months. It's not until October. We get a big bump because when sewer use bills go out. So it'll be a big bump then and a big bump again in April when the second installments are due. So we're anticipating 1.304 million for revenue. It's probably going to be higher than that because that doesn't take into consideration the any investment interest, which isn't a guarantee, but it's pretty standard. Grants that we'll receive, grant money we'll receive, and it was also done prior to a user rate increase of 8%. So we should be in pretty good shape as far as having enough revenue to get us back over that, 1 year's worth of operating expenses as a buffer. So if anyone has any questions on that, I'm ready to answer.
Well, this is useful, John, and just the simple pie graph it helps visualize it, so that's good.
Yeah, so I mean, normally it's mostly in operations, but because we have so many big projects right now, especially with the the primaries and the facility planning, we pushed a lot to capital projects.
I guess we'll go on to all of our projects. starting with phase two.
Phase two, so if you recall, we found a few joints that did not get rehabilitated during the warranty inspection that we had the contractor do. So by contract, we had them re-CCTV the entire project area. So that was completed, I think, week before last, and we've received those reports and have compiled the final punch list, so we're waiting on the schedule for them. I should have that this week, but it's just a few joints that they need to go back and hit.
Okay.
So I don't think that should be too intensive for them. They should be able to get right on that. So, but I will confirm that schedule when that happens, hopefully this week. Phase three, we are going back and forth with shop drawings and getting those approved. The contractor has reviewed the CCTV footage and for the root intrusion control, and they are coordinating that work with their subcontractor right now. No update on schedule quite yet, but I'm working on that.
Okay.
The clarifier rehabilitation, kind of the same. We are continuing with shop drawing reviews. Those are pretty much wrapped up. We were on site with the electrical contractor just to make sure that everybody was on the same page in terms of new conduit layout and where we're taking that to and from. So that's been taken care of. We originally had planned to have the contractor on site this week to start marking out some of the concrete repair in one of the tanks, but I think we'll push that off just so we don't have to mobilize twice. So we're coordinating the schedules on equipment deliveries now, and we'll coordinate that with you once those are confirmed.
Yeah, seems like it makes sense.
You know, the facilities plan, we've been working on three of the tasks. They're really still mostly in data information gathering. So on the task one, which is the sewer collection system, putting together information on the stations and some of the other aspects of the mapping within town. I know that there's been some coordination, as John mentioned, with marking out some of the manholes that still need to get surveyed. Some of them have been done. So, I mean, some of the survey work has been done, but not all of it. So those are some of them that need to still be done, and then the ones on that were covered.
Yep.
On Dowd, which that we're not exactly sure what the schedule is for that, but I would imagine pretty soon.
Probably within a week, actually. They're planning on starting on Thursday or Friday, and he's estimating 3 to 4 days worth of work.
Yep. Okay.
So
we might
hopefully
be able to survey in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, probably by the end of next week, I think it'll be done unless something happens.
That's excellent. On the II work, I'd say 80 to 90% of the data acquisition has been completed, like all the flow monitoring data's in, which we're evaluating, all of the flow isolation work, which is when we go middle of the night, we measure upstream and downstream in individual pipe sections to say, okay, if it's not coming in, and but it's going out, it's coming in that pipe run. So trying to assess what's coming in those runs that were identified during the overall flow monitoring period. So that kind of, those things are done. There's still some more CCTV work and other things where we're doing, but the bulk of the data collection on the II work has been completed and it's being processed. And on the treatment plant, we've been taking the data that John provided us, starting to evaluate individual unit processes within the plant to say, this is okay for this, and kind of capacity-wise and doing that kind of assessment. So there'll be quite a bit more that will be also firing up over the next a few weeks and couple of months relative to kicking off public participation planning, like how do we start to engage the public. I know John and I think Art have talked a little bit about, and we're on board with, maybe it starts with a conversation with the Board of Selectmen and then we start going out more to the public. In the next couple of weeks, we've got lined up to do a drone flyover over the plant to use some of the videos of that for public information purposes, so kind of gather some better looking things to make part of what we'll be showing folks on the website and things like that. Any questions?
If I was to look at these three tasks from a project plan perspective, where are we within that plan as far as getting data and being able to look at the collection system? Got a lot done, are we?
I think on capital, we're probably in the range of 25% done of completing that part of that task, which really frames into, you know, what are you going to serve, where it will be, how much flow do we think it will generate?
So the task one is 25%?
Order of magnitude, I didn't double check the scope, but I'm just, from knowing, being involved with the different tasks, it's probably 25%. I think the task two, which is the II work, would probably be, the bulk of the data collection is done, but the analysis is still relatively early on. So that's probably 25 to 30%, somewhere in that range, with the data's collected, but there's a lot of analysis that's required. And the treatment plant part is probably 20%. It's a little bit, not quite as far along.
And if we were to put that plan on a calendar, we would be closing in on 50% when and 70% when?
I'll have to prepare a schedule versus progress. That wasn't prepared for this update, but that's something we're getting to the point where we have enough work involved that we need to add a schedule versus progress.
Is that feasible? Is that realistic to do?
To prepare, it's fine.
I mean, I'm following off some of what Bill had asked before the meeting, so that's sort of why I'm keying in on that. And I'm very interested in this meeting with the director of planning.
Mm-hmm.
And is he providing data with respect
to... No, the conversation was relatively general in nature,
yeah.
In the conversation. My sense, and John, correct me if you see it differently, is that he wants the boards to have greater input than him. He didn't want to commit to much of anything. He wants us to talk to his boards and have them provide feedback, which is a little unusual,
yeah,
from what most town planners would want to have a bigger role early on, mm-hmm. But he did not want to really express strong opinions about anything specific. About what you heard, John?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yes.
No, I think he provide a lot of good information, but
yeah.
He wants it to come through the planning, zoning, or EDA.
I think one of the big things that this WPCA wants, speaking for myself, we want to know volume projections.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, we're not going to, you know, ballpark things, and we want this to be a successful upgrade and increase in flow. And if I were to project, you know, a year out, people are going to start to say, where's the town planner for conservation and development?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not this body's charge. Yet we don't want that to hinder our desire to get this plant.
We're still working off the older one.
Yeah.
In his view, you're overdue for one, but he does not see one happening in super very soon. That was kind of his comment on relative to the plan of conservation and development.
Yeah, we're probably about a year away, but from starting the plan of development.
And speaking as a single WPCM member, my interests lie in redundancy and effluent quality as far as a member of this authority. Volume, somebody else talked about. I want redundancy and clean water.
I think, you know, and we'll get to that when we talk in more detail of the different aspects of the plan, but I also things like the facility does not have, is not well set up to provide resources for effective ongoing maintenance and repair, so that you can stay on top of more effectively keeping it in good shape for the longer haul. So I think in any plan for improvements at the plant, I think a better like shop and maintenance equipment should be part of that plan. Because you don't have a shop that's like the size of,
yeah,
from where Bob is to the corner over to me. If the shop is pretty small, that's roughly,
yeah, that's not much of an exaggeration,
not much,
really.
Not much of a shop if you have to fix anything of significance. You know, store equipment, store parts, like it's
tight, yeah.
Yeah, to say the least, in an older building that could use some work. So things like that, we would expect would be in the, you know, this commission and other folks in town who may have a say, may say no, but that's what we would recommend as your consultant.
I think the public works facility was in the same boat until it got rebuilt. I mean, it was in this ancient facility without much room and couldn't park a lot of the vehicles in there.
That brick building next to the sewer plant.
Yeah, yeah, right. But more space was part of the whole, you know, project for them, yeah.
As you were saying, you know, Larry, that this, you know, you've got a single train of most of your plant. So, you know, we might not necessarily build a ton more like tanks there, but what is done will make it so that you can isolate individual trains so that maintenance and repair could be done so that you don't, like, your current part of your, you know, the two biggest parts of the most critical part of your system, there's one trickling filter and there's one train of those RBCs that you can't empty that tank and see what's going on underneath the water. And whatever we do is gonna, even though we might not build a phenomenally, you know, we're not gonna build this massive set of tanks and things like that there, but nonetheless, it's gonna be divided so they have at least two of everything.
What I'm hearing is that those two things are the most important from the perspective of.
Well, that's your most risk, because if one of those fails, you lose a large part of your treatment capacity.
Okay.
Which, you know, the staff over the years, you know, Andrew Lee, Roger Ignazio, and John have done a good job keeping things going, but they have broken from time to time, and it gets pretty hairy when they do.
Yeah.
I think what you guys are saying is something that selling that idea to the public and maybe Board of Selectmen, it's not the first thing people will just say, are we gonna make it bigger? Are we gonna expand it, yes or no? But this, you know, redundancy and, you know, room for maintenance equipment, that's not what most people would think about, you know?
And I think it's a, so you didn't expand it at all, you still should do those things.
Yeah.
Is, I think, an important message for people to hear. And I think we'll start that process when we start talking to the Board of Selectmen, when we start, you know, John and I are talking about, you know, doing an open house in the next month or so, you know, getting offering people to come in if they want to see it. I think the Board of Selectmen, John came up with the idea that, you know, maybe with you as well, that would be a good, the best starting point is to talk to that entity before we go anything else.
Good idea.
So I'm hoping we can get on their agenda for the next, early next month. I think it's the 8th. Is that the first meeting?
Yeah, that's what you sent.
Yeah, because ours is the 6th.
What we saw with the town garage was 10 to 15 years of stalling because the citizenry either didn't want it in their backyard or they didn't want to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it took those who had an interest in the DPW multiple times, drove the issues home as to here is why we need it, and it's gonna, I think this authority needs to hammer home time and time again to these other bodies, you drive it. And just from my perspective, these two things, if you do nothing else, these must be done, and it's costing us much money. And it took the Board of Selectmen to drive that new garage. And it took tens of thousands of dollars of lobbying by an outside group to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice not to have to do that, but anyway. I get off.
One more ticket.
All right. Anything else? Any other questions on the facilities plan, anybody? Yeah.
When will we start seeing stuff, information?
I think there's an interim deliverable on each one of those tasks, right? That turns into a, you know, report or maps and things like that. So as they're particularly the task two, which is the infiltration inflow, will be a big one that will get, like, is worthy of its own, you know, kind of presentation conversation, because there'll be a lot of information, a lot of data, a lot of these problems are in these locations of this nature or that nature, depending on how the water is getting into your system.
Completion of this project is mid-next year, right?
Yes.
Okay. So between then and now, we'll start seeing, like here, we're 2025. At some point, we're going to start seeing.
Right, and task one and task two are set the stage for a lot of other things. Like task one is like, what areas do you need to sewer? What do we project the future flow to be? The second one is how much water do we think we can get out of your system that's getting in now? So that kind of sets the stage for, like, we can talk about what the existing treatment plant can do, what it is, but you won't know what it needs to be until you finish one and two, which is, you know, what you'll need to serve and what flow and amount of pollutant you have to treat.
Number one is other boards not related to this authority, and they've got to do something. And
we have to extract a certain amount out of them. It's often how that works.
Yeah, not take 10 years.
I think
that this item number two is something that we could be very happy shepherding through.
And we will be. We're more in control of that one than
as well as number three.
Yes. But we can't do three until one and two are pretty well along, if not completed. We can get it partway, but we'll have to wait until what are the future conditions we're going to design for or evaluate for.
And earlier we mentioned the Board of Selectmen, we mentioned or heard EDA.
Mm-hmm.
It's the public at the end of the day that's kind of
absolutely.
And so it's like how how are they, these boards, and I think that it's important for this board authority to start telling these other boards, especially the Board of Selectmen, now we're going to come to you and say, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So that they don't say, well, we're waiting for this, we're waiting for that. You know, if we're hearing rumblings that there isn't going to be any town plan update available, then the public's going to know that, and we're going to take input from these other boards.
And so, and we don't need a precise estimate because we're talking about development over the next 20 years, right? If you get a precise plan of what will develop now for 20 years from now, it won't happen anyways.
Yep.
It'll be something, maybe something in the ballpark that is reasonable to plan for, but you'll never have it perfectly exact. It won't have it exact.
Yeah, it won't be exact.
No, things
There's
change.
There's got to be something.
Things change.
And we saw the past two decades, we saw the sewer share increase.
You know, fractionally.
Well, lot and road development.
But the actual land area involved might have been between maybe a 5 or 10% increase at most.
The types of property though changed incredibly.
What's that?
The use of those properties changed incredibly, which changes the flow.
I would, and John might have the assessment because he has all the development lists, but I would guess the actual flow, sanitary flow that's generated by users probably hasn't gone up by 50,000 gallons in the last.
That was my ballpark number. I showed my head was 50,000.
In the last, I would say almost 20 years. At least 10.
If that's a number, that I would like that number. I would like to, you know, say here's the other board. Here are the boards and members and whatever. This is what we can present you with the data.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you doubled what we had built in the last 20 years, as far as housing and everything else concerned, you'd be looking at, all numbers being equal, another 50,000 capacity.
Of sanitary.
Right.
Obviously the extra water, and
still INI issues and other.
That's part of it, but those are also, you don't know the level of success you have, because how soon are we going to have a repeat of the winter of 2024? You know, it might be as bad, but it'll be different. Like every year's weather and it kind of stands on its own. But things, you know, have been worse, but not every year.
But I guess to Larry's point, even if we had another 20 years of development that mirrored what we'd already done, just from the construction projects alone, roughly 50,000 gallons or rough enough capacity. It's an interesting number.
That blows me away because we got Huckleberry Hill.
Well, Huckleberry Hill was pretty much before 20 years ago. It was. It was. It was 2004 to 2006 or so, as was Oxbow Ridge, which was climbing the hill there. And the things like Queens Peak, that was even before that.
I know Queens Peak.
That was like 2001-ish.
I know Queens Peak was.
Yeah, so most of Huckleberry Hill was 2004 to 2006, maybe a little bit into '07, but not much. And the shops was done in like 2005.
Do we know how much that's the last 5 years as far as, because a lot of people know some other people with apartments and stuff, and anytime I hear capacity issues, we immediately point to that. Not INI issues, they're just like, it must be those new houses, the housing developments.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
That's a good answer to have.
Yeah, I think all of that being laid out to say, these are all of the sources of your flow. And that will be, and that's part of what we're doing.
Yeah.
What are all these sources of flow? If you think there's a benefit of the history, I think we could together bring the history together about what was connected when and about how much that might have generated. Because I would say over the last 25 years, you know, less than 100,000, probably, you know, because I know that the 2000 to 2006 range, it was going crazy here.
Right.
And I think it was really quiet for quite a while, and then the last, we've had another stretch of
5 years,
five or 7 years where it went crazy, not as crazy, but it was very busy again.
And I don't have my finger on the pulse, so I just know there's a lot of chatter about we're having these issues because of those developments, and I know that's probably not.
Right, and that won't be the message.
I mean, it's nice to have the data to talk about that.
I mean, when you see whatever that place is up on the corner of 139 and 44, there's a lot of units there.
Mm-hmm. So, 100 units there.
Okay, so the natural thought is, well, there's a lot of crap coming out of there now. Mm-hmm. But in the big scheme of things.
Are they 100, how many 100 units at are those all a typical EDU value or partial EDU?
I don't know off the top of my head. I think it's a mix of 1 and 2 bedroom units, but the average flow I think that comes out of there, I want to say is like 6,000 gallons per day.
Wow.
So you might plan for a lot more because you have to plan for peak flows. And
you're just looking once.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah, everyone.
We're taking it by day.
Right. So in the morning, everybody going to work, there's going to be a burst of activity.
Yeah.
Right. But that's
same thing at night.
That's the name of every system like this.
Which is why we're measuring it 2 in the morning to figure out what's actually going on.
Right, but if you just take the, you know, what we would estimate from a worst case scenario planning point of view, how much it is, how much it actually generates tends to be less.
But we have to plan for more, so then people aren't going to be backflow.
You know, we can think about 100 units, and the typical number gets thrown out 255 gallons a day per unit.
But it's less than that because they're 1 and 2 bedrooms. So they're 60%, 80%, right? Those are the two ratios. So
but still, like 100 units.
Roughly 75% of that number. Yeah. That would be 15,000 if everything was something like that. 15,000 gallons.
In that complex. Behind Pedals and Paws there, even though it's 100 units, something to keep in the back of your mind. One of the things we always hear is, oh, all the kids that are going to come into the school system. Apparently, there's only 5 kids in 100 units.
That's
there.
Awesome.
So there is an awful lot of, you know, just 1 or 2 person families in that building, even in spite of the, like, the...
An EDU estimate is... Typically, what you would normally see in that census district, about what you'd have from a single family home, of about 2.5 to 2.7 people, right? If your average is more like 1 point something, that 255 might be, you know, 125.
Yeah, you're probably developing, like you said, in that building, a lot less flow.
Right, that would be what you
would ever guess.
We don't, you know, we can't predict how many kids would be there. So you say, well, we've made the correlation in the past, you know, with John and the folks that came before him, that a 1 bedroom is 60% of an EDU, and a 2 bedroom is 80% of an EDU. And that's still conservative.
Another thing I wanted to just throw out to you guys tonight, and I don't know how many people are aware of this yet, but the portion of Canton Village Shopping Center that the Bear family owns has just been sold. It's to a out-of-town developer from down somewhere near New Haven. People here are probably also aware that four of the buildings, four or five their cars to the town as to any plans they might have for those buildings. Certainly, a lot of that area is probably underutilized. I know in, when they were doing the zoning updates, and one of the things that the town wanted to encourage potentially in Canton Village was more residential. So maybe take some of the existing buildings and add like a second floor that would be apartments or things of that nature.
Four floors.
Yeah, how high can they go in here?
Four.
It's four?
Yeah. I heard one suggestion already that a couple of the buildings down there, they might tear down and build a larger office building on the same spot, but.
Well, our normal approach, and given there's a track record that we've developed of what amount of flow you would expect per square foot per use, whether it's a restaurant or an office or a shop, and there's a number that would generate. So we would just need to say, well, what would we want to plan for the number of square feet and the use? And once that, then that can readily turn into a number equivalent, house equivalent, whatever you want to call it. Usually, we turn it right into a flow. And that turns into a flow that could then be accumulated into the overall assessment. And, you know, if it's something be much bigger than it is now from square footage, right now, we can say, we already know the size of these buildings. That's the estimate that it was put back into service. If we were to think of how one story is going to become four, and obviously, that's an expanded number.
Yeah, as I said, that area's been stagnant for so long in terms of development.
Maybe 8 years.
Yeah, you know, but we don't have any idea yet what's going to happen there.
Well, and that's, you know, we're trying to get some of that information from the town planner, which he's hesitant to provide any detail. We're going to try to talk to him before we meet with their board to say, could you give us like at least an idea of where you want this thing, where you think this should go? I don't know that we'll get it, knowing that. He always plays his cards very carefully.
From what I had heard, you know, this person that bought Canton Village has talked to Neil very preliminarily. But again, I don't think they've really shown their cards yet as to what their goal is for that property.
Yep.
So.
I really respect Neil for doing what he's doing.
I think he's cautious for a reason.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate that.
Yeah. So that's good news. That's news, that's information. The only other place that's of major news is the factory that's fallen down.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the Axe factory, the last, you know, proposal 5 years ago or whenever it was, they were asking for, I think, 45,000 was what they had come in to ask for. And I think the newest proposal was going to have some more apartments. I thought they were talking about more like 60. I don't know if that. Something a little bit higher, but it's not 100,000. It's, you know, maybe that's the kind of project or flows for that project, is it?
Yeah, if I recall, I want to say they were asking for 71 or 72,000, but they already use roughly, there's 23 EDUs there, 23, 24.
Really? So 5,000? If you were to put an allotment to it, roughly 5,000 gallons per day?
No, I think they're asking 70,000.
No, for
current.
I thought you were subtracting out the current.
Right, yep.
Right, so 23 EDUs times 255.
Yep.
Is almost 6,000 gallons.
Yeah.
So that's peanuts.
Yeah, versus of 70 or whatever that number ends up being. So
yep.
What they end up wanting is, that's the placeholder for that. And then, you know, all of these uses like that, or if things are changing in Canton Village, you know, we take that and we take, what do we think the peak flow will be out of that? We look at that point of discharge. Does the pipeline from there to the plant have the capacity? Then we also accumulate that from all the other sources and say, what does the plant need to do? So you take individual, like what I would call a trunk store.
Yeah.
Collinsville has one, you know, comes up Dowd Avenue is one. So there's all these different main trunks that come into the plant, really, essentially from three different directions, the north, the south, and the east. So, excellent conversation, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's good to have, throw some of this stuff around tonight, so, if we can move on to the SCADA communications.
Yeah, moving along nicely. We've ordered the equipment that you need at each of the three different sites. Expecting about 2 weeks done delivery on those. John's already been in touch with AT&T FirstNet, getting some preliminary things worked through. We've got a call, our SCADA team has a call with FirstNet tomorrow morning.
Yep.
To discuss more technical issues, and they need some data from us on their end once we get our equipment to make it all mesh together. So things are moving.
Okay. And before we close out, I was thinking under new business, Bill, you said you had some discussion at the Board of Selectmen, unless there's something else. Maybe we should spend a few minutes.
Board of Selectmen did discuss it briefly.
Yeah.
The first thought that came to their mind was moratorium. And I tried to explain to them it's not a moratorium, that you know, you are planning on any existing approved projects would be connected that you've already approved. But essentially you're kind of putting the brakes on things pending the completion of the study.
Good way to put it, yeah.
I think the rest of the board understood that.
Particularly anything large.
Yeah.
Really small stuff, I'm not sure that's not really stopping that, but those don't really have a big impact if you're right along the lines of what we were talking, but bigger projects still.
Right.
And I think part of that's also the public, as you were suggesting, the public hears new development, that's the cause of our problem, why are we doing it? It isn't that big of a, you know, it's a part of it, but it may not be the driver of the challenge.
Our challenge, our primary challenge, I think, will be conveying to everybody how inflow and infiltration impacts the plant, and you can undo so much, but beyond that, it's not possible.
Not unless you replace your entire sewer system.
Yep. Yes.
Which I haven't put a dollar value to that, but if you were to rebuild your plant completely, tear it down and rebuild it, it would be cheaper than rebuilding the sewer system. You would dig up every room with a sewer and put a new line in. Like, that would be
ambitious.
Yeah. Well, we're still making payments on the one
by
pipe
the time
you know, on Dowd Avenue.
It would be cheaper to rebuild your plant at a larger size.
Oh, God. We laugh about that, but it sends a message.
Mike and I work for a community in Massachusetts called Chicopee,
yeah,
not that far from here. They have combined sewers where they had their stormwater and their wastewater in the same pipe because it was an old industrial city. So over the past 25 years, they've not predominantly, we're their primary consultant now, but their prior consultant probably spent at least $50 million separating pipes. Like, either building a new sewer line and using the existing one for stormwater or vice versa. Mm-hmm. They've spent and haven't spent a nickel on their plant, which is falling apart, and they have to rebuild their plant still. Mm-hmm. They've spent it and they've reduced the flows and the combined sewer overflows, not completely, but somewhat. And obviously it's a much bigger community than Canton is. You know, it's maybe 40,000 people.
Yeah.
But and that's a fraction of what's in the ground there.
And that's a fraction of what they're doing in Hartford with the MDC.
Right.
Yep.
With the combined sewer over.
Well, on the tunnel. They have two tunnels.
Two tunnels.
A couple hundred feet down. We did the master plan for the treatment plant upgrade 17 years ago, 16 years ago. Like, it was a $550 million budget on plan in 2000 and whatever, $9. Like, double that now. With inflation, I would guess, I haven't seen an updated budget there, but it's got to be something like double it. I've got to be talking a billion. But orders of magnitude larger. You have a big problem, they have a hard to grasp problem.
Okay.
But,
all right. The INI is going to tell us whether we have monster.
Well,
somewhere.
You know, even
even if we're identifying II, we're identifying improvements, but to know that, you know, replace this section of pipe, or we upgrade or repair these manholes, if we're lucky, we're gonna get a fraction of that II up.
Like 30%, right?
Yeah, 20-30% is probably, like, you know, we have to use judgment to say, based on what we see, because what happens is you fix a broken pipe, and, you know, that doesn't come in there anymore, but that water wants to come in 20 feet upstream, or in the laterals in people's front yards that I don't think we wanna get into. So we'll make it better, but we can't expect a massive change from this.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to pick the highest priority where the biggest problems are, and it will, over time, you'll see how much it's removed, but it doesn't solve the problem by itself.
And our messaging on that has to be constant.
It'll keep it from getting out of control.
So what we're trying to do is keep it contained. And it will be a continuing endeavor to continue to improve things.
I sit here and John, I asked John, I said, oh wow, I see there's a sewer line that runs right along Rattlesnake Brook. Things gonna be underwater all the time.
In 2000 and, was it five, the flood in flooded the basement?
Yeah, I think so.
There was some sort of big, August or July, something like that. So 20 years ago, there was a flood that came down Rattlesnake Brook that top and submerged the manholes, and the inside, because of a pump issue failing in the building, it flooded the lower level of the treatment plant.
Wow.
And unfortunately, the treatment plant was built with a generator on the lower level. The generator was running, and it went underwater. So you lost electrical equipment, and you lost operating pumps for a month or two.
Weeks,
You had fuel-fired pumps to move the water into the plant from there for a couple of months, I think. And now you go to the generator there, and it's way up in the air. We are not putting that down low ever again.
We're actually almost in that same situation two Januaries ago when we had that flood. But fortunately, we have duckbills in our floor drain system, so if it backs up in the influent channel, it won't back up into the building. So that's what happened in 2005,
it
backed up.
It backfilled through the wet side of the plant into the dry side of the plant,
because
they didn't have check valves in between.
So we were in the same situation where water was high over here, but we weren't vulnerable because we had a check valve system.
So in addition to redundancy, we want to make sure that we got all those
resiliency is an important part of it as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like the things that we were involved with, like building the UV system, we replaced the UV system in maybe 16.
Yep. Yeah.
All the electrical that got elevated. Mm. Now, you know, with the river, is it high enough? Well, we have to assess that. But it was about 3.5 feet higher probably than it was before. Trying to get it up well above the 100. I think it was the 100 year flood elevation plus 2 feet for conservatism. So, but it will be, there'll be more of that because things are worse than they used to be, unfortunately. I mean, from a flooding weather point of view, FEMA is trying to get something out of FEMA. I think we're still working off of FEMA maps from a few years ago because I'm not sure they're gonna get updated anytime soon. If there'll be a FEMA next year.
All right.
Well, anything else? Any other new business from you guys? Anything?
Nope.
All right. Well, the next meeting is October 6th, and we're tentatively scheduling a presentation of the Board of Selectmen October 8th, if anyone wants to join.
Thank you, but I'm not going to be here.
You're escaping.
Too bad.
I know, I'd love to be there.
Yeah. So keep those two dates in mind, and with that, I will call the meeting to a close at 6:56 p.m. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Wherever they disappeared. I'll second that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have Nick first. I was just saying,
thank you, guys.
All right.
Thank you. Likewise.